Good afternoon. And it's a good being with you again. You're very brave souls to come out in this heat. Many people can't take it. But you're here. This means something. I don't know what it means, but it means something. It's good to see you. We'll discuss two topics today. One is I'm trying to pick up what I should talk about, what you have to hear, so we'll go back to the two topics. One is, why do some people practice spiritual practices, sadhana, for many, many years and nothing happens? And some people do not practice, perhaps, never practice, become enlightened, so to speak. The second topic is the world really an illusion? It's so hard to comprehend the world as being an illusion. It seems ludicrous to say something like this. The world is an illusion. That this world does not exist. Here it is facing us. So am I crazy? Yes. We'll see where we go. The first topic. Why is it that so many people practice sadhana for many, many years and nothing really outstanding happens to them? They may feel better about themselves to an extent. Things may improve in their human head to an extent. But nothing drastic happens like waking up, becoming liberated. And yet all of you have read about people who have been illumined by doing absolutely nothing. It's just a walk. You have to remember that this life of which you are appearing right now is only a split second in eternity. You believe so much in your humanhood that you think you live a long time and you're important. And what you do matters. You don't see that your life is but a split second in eternity. It's like this keyhole example I always give you. You look through the keyhole and you see a certain situation happening, and that's all you see. You therefore react to that situation which you see through the keyhole. But if you saw the whole picture, if you were able to open the door, you will see really what's going on. That's how it is with us in this body in this age. Your time allotted to you in this particular body is like looking through the keyhole. You're only seeing partially what's going on. Therefore, if you understand this and you know what I'm talking about, why would you react? You look through the keyhole, you see somebody stabbing somebody. And you get excited. Look what's going on. There's a murder going on. That's all you see. Yet if you open the door widely, you would see that in the previous life, the person being stabbed stabbed the person who's stabbing. What goes around comes around. And then if you continue looking, you see that both people, the person being stabbed and the person who's stabbing, are laughing. In the end, so-called. And nobody killed, nobody got killed. It just didn't happen. Another good example of that is when you see a movie. The same thing happens. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. But you see the whole movie. You see the beginning, the middle, and the end. Yet your life is like the middle of the movie. You don't know the beginning. The beginning is not when you were born. That is not the beginning. The end is not when you leave your body, so to speak. Life is a continuum. There was never a beginning, there's no middle, there's no end. Now remember something else as I share these things with you. I'm not speaking of anything I read in the book or what some wise teacher told me. I am speaking of my own experiences. If I had to sit with you and tell you something that somebody else told me, or something I read in a book, I wouldn't be worth anything. I would never be able to help you to unfold and to become free. I'm just relating to you something that somebody told me or something that I read. Always bear this in mind. Because when I had my illumination, which was uncalled for, when I was 14 years old, I went through the whole experience of life. In an instant. Birth, growth, death, astral planes, causal planes, different planets. It all happened instantaneously to me. It was very clear. And it left me in a state of consciousness where I can explain this to you, to share this with you and make you see that this is the truth. Even though perhaps you're not yet feeling anything like this. So to get back to the subject. Everything that happens to you in this life has been preordained. As long as you believe you are a body-mind and you do not awaken yet, everything is preordained. Everything. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing. The best thing to do if you are on the path is not to pay too much attention to these things, because it will drive you crazy if you think about it too much. and we'll be thinking, how much time do I have left? Will I be awakened in this life? Is there any bad karma coming to me? You'll be thinking all this all the time. And you'll not be able to function or focus. This is why the sage tells you, live in the moment. Do not think of the past. Do not worry about the future. If you live properly in the moment, you will be taken care of correctly. For in the moment, nothing is happening. In a split second, nothing is happening. It is only when the mind starts thinking, starts moving, when the energy of the mind starts to move, then the universe moves. Things happen when the mind moves. The mind is all karmic. And the mind does things that are supposed to happen to you because of your prarabdha karma and other karmas. You will be awakened in the right time. Do not worry about this. Do not concern yourself about this. I hear from so many people who have lived in India 10 years, 20 years, and they're sort of disillusioned because nothing is happening. They live in the great ashrams where great saints used to live. I hear from Christians, I hear from Muslims. They all tell me basically the same thing. A girl called me yesterday. She's been a Sufi for 15 years. She told me it was exciting when she first got into it. And the teaching is wonderful. But she's becoming discouraged, disillusioned, for nothing is happening. When you talk like this, it's a big ego trip. What is your ego that says these things? It is the ego that tells you all of this. It tells you what state of consciousness you're in. It tells you, why is it taking so long? Let's change teachers. Let's go to India. Let's go to Tahiti. Let's go here, let's go there, let's read this book, let's read that book. This all has to do with your ego. If you can only comprehend that everything is preordained, you would not worry. There would be absolutely nothing for you to worry about. Nothing for you to fear. Nowhere for you to go. You just look at this world and not react. Then you will make progress. As I was emphasizing in yesterday's class, the idea is not to add new techniques to the old techniques. Not to practice new yogas, new Zen movements, new Sufi movements. Not to add anything on, but to subtract, to remove the karmas, the world, just like you peel an onion. To get to the juicy onion, you have to take off layer after layer after layer. And that adds layers after layer after layer. Yet no matter how many times I say this to people, They're always reading a new book. They find a new method. They look for a new teacher. They're adding. This is a grave mistake. You want to remove those things that have been hanging on to you, including the teachings, including what you know about the teachings. Awakening does not come to a person who knows the most teachings. Many of us believe the more I know about the teachings, the sooner I will awaken. This is a fallacy. It has absolutely nothing to do with how many teachings you know, how you've mastered them. It has to do with how many teachings you let go of. You see, it's in reverse. Many people who talk to me like to show me how intelligent they are in yoga, in Christianity, and all kinds of teachings. They recite the Kabbalah to me, they tell me all kinds of things. They didn't know. I do not have the heart to tell them to let go of it, because they've been studying these things for years and years and years. Yet the truth is, you have to drop everything. Let go of everything. Even what I'm sharing with you. Do not hold on to it. Empty your mind of it. Become free of it. There's something there that will take care of itself. When the time is ready for you, everybody's completely and totally different. Before you came into this body, if you were meant to be liberated in this life, the time has been planned for you. June 2nd, 1994. 3 o'clock. It's all been laid out. All been planned. There's absolutely nothing that you have to do. There's really no action you have to take. The only thing you really have to do is to be calm, peaceful, practice loving kindness, forget about the past. That's an important one. Never mind how old you are, or how many years you've been practicing, or how many teachers you've had, how many books you've read. Drop it. You have to act sort of as you were just born. Every moment. Everything will unfold by itself. You have to get yourself totally out of the way. It is you who caused the problems in your life, whether you know it or not. And some people are so stubborn, they're holding on to stuff, hurts from 20 years ago. Things people did to them. They went to prison perhaps for 5 years for something they didn't do. And have hate inside of them. We're here on this earth to go through these experiences, so we can drop them, let them go, and go forward. It's up to you to do this to yourself. To let go of your entire past. And stop thinking of the future. Again, you may say, if I don't think of the future, how can I plan? How can I make things happen? It's already been planned for you. The happenings have already been made for you. Does a tree have to plan when it's going to grow apples? Does the grass have to plan when it's going to grow? Does anything in nature plan anything? The food that we eat, has anybody planned this food for us? All this food has already been here on this earth when we came to it. We have been totally provided for. Everything has been provided. But you think you're estranged from everything. So you have to fight for yourself. You have to stick up for your rights. And you have to do this and you have to do that. You step in somebody's shoes, you hurt people. Because you think you have to survive. All of this causes suffering. A true devotee forgets about all these things. Stays put in the now, in the here and now, in the moment. Realizing all is well. So look at your life, what you're going through. Do not condemn yourself. But realize you are responsible for everything that's happened to you. Who else can be responsible? And remember, if you react to it, you're just causing new problems for yourself and keeping yourself earthbound again and again and again. And the appearance is that you go through life after life after life after life. Playing games with yourself. You're doing the whole thing. Therefore, trust the power within you. Realize that everything you need, you want, are within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. That's the first part. As I mentioned, there are two parts we're going to discuss. The second part, how can this world be an illusion? It seems so real. I'm affected by it. It shows me all kinds of things. But notice what you're doing. You're referring to yourself continuously. It's always me, it's always I. I'm affected by it, I go through these experiences. I see this world as it is. And this is a big ego trip again. Because what you're really saying is, I know. And as the world affects me, it must be real. Isn't that what you're really saying? You're saying that you know. You are sure. Because I feel this way and I feel that way. Who are you? Where do you come from that feels this way and that way? You think you're so important. This This is what it's called, ego, of course. When you tell me, Robert, I broke my arm last night, don't tell me the world's an illusion. Look, I'm in the cast. Don't tell me that nonsense. Even science tells us today that the world's an illusion. Mighty science. Science agrees with this now. Why? Because everything is subject to the law of change. If nothing is permanent, how can you say the world is real? Or this tree may live about 300-400 years, but it'll go sooner or later. Elvis Presley may be around for another 200 years. But he'll fade away sooner or later, and people will forget all about him. A mighty mountain, even a rinocella, will only last so long. And be gone and disappear. Remember, this earth has been around for billions and billions of years. We have had many civilizations on this earth that have come and gone. Civilizations mightier than ours, more advanced. And there have been high teachings. Spiritual teachings, it's all gone. Everything is gone. So here we are, we appear as we appear. And we start to act as if we know something. We start to think that we're smart. Whatever happens to me is an experience. We say, therefore I know. In other words, we are reacting to person, place, and thing. Again, you look at the dream state. This gives you a clue. In the dream, everything appears so real. If we were having a dream right now, we were having a class like this, I'm sitting here talking to you, and you're telling me, Robert, you're crazy. The world is not an illusion. We're sitting here. I behold you, I behold the trees, I behold the mountains. I come over and pinch you and you say, ow. I try to explain, this is a dream pinch. It's a dream observation. But you don't believe me. You say he's crazy. But the time comes when you wake up in the dream, doesn't it? And then you laugh. You say, what a dream I had. The dream is gone. And here you are, in another dream, the waking dream, so to speak. Yet you take everything seriously, you try to fix things, you're always seeing something wrong, you always believe you have to correct something. You have to straighten somebody out. You have to make somebody know the truth and preach to them and tell them your truth. You debate, you argue hour after hour, week after week, month after month, year after year. And pretty soon your hair turns white. You become 70-80 years old. You're still arguing. You're still contradicting. You're still fighting. What has become with you? You become totally disillusioned, disenchanted. And then the time comes for you to leave your body. And you do it all over again. Same thing all over again. Different faces, different places, different people. Maybe a different planet. So how can this world be real? Again, we get back to science. Everything in science comes from the same source. Everything. If I take your body, the chair, the microphone, the cup, and I start to break it down, I would get molecules, atoms, subatomic particles, pure energy. No human being can go further than that. But from the pure energy you get the void you heard about in Buddhism, in Zen. It's not the end. From the void you get absolute reality. And from absolute reality you get yourself. You. This is the way it works. I've been there, I've seen it. The end result of everything is you. Nothing else exists. I don't mean you as your body as you appear now with all your problems and troubles and frustrations. I mean the you. The I am, the one. Now the I am, the oneness, the pure awareness, is so far out that I shouldn't even talk about it. It's something the finite mind can never comprehend. It is really not an experience. It is nothing. It's something beyond all comprehension. It's something we waste our time by talking about it. But you can become it. That's the good news. When you become it, whatever it may be, there's a feeling that's ineffable. There's a knowledge. A knowledge that there's no birth. Nothing was born. There's a knowledge that nothing prevails. When nothing prevails, I mean, we do not go through any experiences after we're born, at all. And there's a knowledge that you never disappear. What can you be? Do not ask yourself this question, you'll never find out in your present state. This only becomes clear to you when you awaken. But yet the contradiction, the paradox is, do not think of awakening. But by thinking of awakening, it keeps you back. It keeps you back because you have a preconceived idea of what awakening is. And you keep saying to yourself, boy, I want to be that. I want to be that. I can't wait to awaken. I want to be that. You want to be what? There is nothing to be. When you awaken, so to speak, there's no one to be anything. So can't you see by saying, I want to be that, I want to awaken, you're pulling yourself backwards? You're going backwards. This is why I talk so much about having a peaceful mind. It all begins in your mind. When the mind becomes quiescent, quiet, it can go deeper within itself. But when you're making a lot of noise, debating, arguing, trying to put people down, trying to discover faults in people, doing all the things you do, you're just being pulled backwards. So the world is an illusion to the one who's not the world. But as long as you are the world and you feel things of this world, you shouldn't walk around saying the world is an illusion. Because it'll sound ridiculous. You can't prove it. You shouldn't walk around telling people I'm not the body or the mind. If somebody tells me that, I say, show me. This is why the greatest saint keeps still. The greatest sage keeps quiet. People come to the sage, they argue about this, they argue about that, they complain about everybody. The sage just keeps quiet. Where are you coming from right now? You have to be totally honest with yourself. What's going on inside of your head? It is you who have kept yourself back all these years by arguing, by fighting, by trying to prove points, by doing this and doing that. How should you live? In an atmosphere of loving kindness. You should have loving kindness for every human being. Never mind who they are, what they've done. Your job is to have loving kindness for them. I'm not saying you have to live with them. Just have loving kindness. Your job is to make your mind peaceful. Do whatever it takes to make the mind quiet, peaceful, relaxed, harmonious. Your job is to do unto others as you have them do unto you. Look at everybody like yourself. Whenever you're going to take an action against anybody, ask yourself before you do, will I do this to myself? Because there's only one self. Whenever I give to someone, whenever I take to someone, whenever I think of someone, I'm only thinking about myself. I am the one. This is where you should start. If you can practice self-inquiry, by all means do that. If you cannot, do whatever it is you have to do to become free and liberated, whatever that means. By not reacting, by leaving people alone, by not coming to any conclusions. It's up to you. You have any questions? We forgot to write the questions.
I see the basket disappeared. Robert, how can I get rid of this desire for liberation, the myth that there is something I can attain in the future?
We talked about that. Stop wanting it. Stop desiring it. Stop thinking about the future. Work on yourself in the now. Go out and help the poor, the homeless. Do something good for someone. Forget about liberation, delusion. Forget about the past, about the future. Live today as if it were your last day on earth. Be happy. Love everyone. And everything will take care of itself.
I see one thought is telling one thought what to do.
So you want me to punch out the thought. Kick it. One thought is telling another thought what to do. Be the observer of the whole thing. Be the witness of that game. Just watch it. Don't do anything. Watch it. Watch one thought telling another thought what to do. If you're really able to watch this and observe this, the thoughts will become weaker and weaker and weaker. They have to. Because you're not responding to them, you're not giving them any action. Thoughts like action. They tell you somebody called me a dirty son of a so-and-so. I'm going to call that guy up and give him a piece of my mind. That's what it's supposed to like. They like action. They want you to do something. When we just observe and you watch those thoughts, they become weak and run away. Next case.
you think that people is decided what will do in their life when they was born?
That's not as bad English as I speak. What was that question?
It says, do you think that people is decided? Probably they mean, do you think that people are decided what they will do in their life when they were born? Probably.
Yes, we discussed this. Everything is preordained. Everything is decided for you. You have nothing to do but be yourself. Be happy. Everything that you're supposed to do and supposed to go through in this life, you're doing right now. Your job is to turn within, seek the kingdom of God by becoming quiet and still, and all these things will be added unto you. Which means that your life will have whatever it needs to go through the sojourn peacefully, happily. But you have to never react to anything. Just turn within. See the one life. See the oneness in everything. Bless everyone. Love everyone. Condemn nothing. Especially not yourself. Forgive yourself of past sins of omission and commission. And forgive everybody else for their sins of omission and commission. Leave the world alone. And you'll be happier than you've ever been in your life.
If I don't read books on spirituality, my mind will fill up on other books.
If you do not read books on spirituality, why should you read other books? If you're going to read spiritual books. But if you do not read books on spirituality, do not read other books either. You are a book yourself. There are many stories in you. Look at the stories in yourself. If you investigate yourself, you will not have time to read too much. Take a good look at your greed, your lust, your hate, all these things that keep you back. Look at these things intelligently. See what's going on within you. That's your book. Removing those traits. Becoming kind and simple and peaceful. If you're doing this work on yourself, you won't have time to read pornographic books or fairy tales or fiction or the bestseller in the New York Times. You'll be too busy getting rid of the stuff that keeps you back. Working on yourself. That's it. Anybody like to say something? Make a comment? Have a question? Or an answer?
Yeah.
Nate.
When I first came here, a year ago more or less, I be into it. Like, I came a little late because of circumstances. It was really, what you said really struck home. And I know there's nothing I can do, yet I feel helpless that I can do nothing. It's frustrating. When you said that you took this mathematics test and you woke up and you were free, apparently that's about the only way for it to happen. I'm not saying take a mathematics test, but now that I can see where I'm coming from, the mind's coming from, and there's nothing that I can do, because whatever I do will be the mind, it is more peaceful, more satisfying, but at the same time, it's more frustrating because knowing whatever I do will be the mind.
See, Ned, you're doing the same thing I was talking about. You're judging yourself.
I'm sorry?
You're judging yourself. You're saying anything I can do. It's always I, Ned.
I understand that. I see what I'm saying. I even see what I'm saying, which is frustrating.
And stop saying it. Stop thinking about it. Inquire to whom does the I come? Who says all these things? Even if you have to say, who am I, forever, why not say it? It's better than saying, I hate you.
Right. Very good. Or, I want to be free, or who am I, or where these thoughts come from. Just that dialogue rather than. I know it's a technique, but at least it's.
Exactly. Okay. Do it and don't try to figure it out.
No. Gotcha. Okay.
Anyone else like to share anything?
Harvard, is the idea that everything is predetermined, that isn't really congruent with non-duality, right, or Veda.
And as Veda Vedanta, as you are aware, there's no such thing as karma. There's no such thing as predetermined.
So that's just a technique to help us.
Yes.
But it's not the true reality.
Of course not, but what is the true reality? Nobody knows.
Is it helpful for us to hear the true reality? I mean, you can say that the true reality is a mystery. Wouldn't you think that that's helpful for us?
Well, I say that many times.
Yeah.
It is a mystery. But what happens to us, to some of us, is we get a hold of this, especially for new people. They hear that they are Brahman, that they are God, they are the ultimate absolute reality. And they feel good about it. But as the months go by, all this stuff is coming to them. They're still experiencing all kinds of things, going through all kinds of situations, perhaps losing their job, losing their family, losing their money, going through this, going through that. So these people become frustrated. They become disillusioned. They're saying, if I'm absolute reality, why are these things happening to me? Because they don't know their absolute reality, they're just voicing it. They're talking about it, they know it intellectually. That's also these people who read all the books. About 90% of the people who have read all the books in Advaita Vedanta, Nisargadatta, and everybody else.
Well, it's like you're spoon feeding some people, though, or you're just assuming that other people already know that, well, this is nonsense, so. Don't even pay attention to what you're saying.
What I do is a certain technique that new people can take care of things in their way, and old people can take care of things in their way.
Right.
So everybody's different.
Right.
Everyone feels differently. this is why, if you can come in here and really have an open heart, then what you have to do will be revealed to you as we talk and as it goes through this. But if you come here with preconceived ideas, with dogmas, and all kinds of stuff, then you have a hard time in life.
Universal love, and he's saying, you love yourself first before you can love anybody else. And I know I've been having different trouble doing that.
Because he's telling you to love yourself as if to love the ego. He's not really explaining when you love yourself, you love God. You love the God self, the higher self. The I am. That's what you love. When they say love yourself, they don't go any further. So you love the person who does all the nonsense. The person who gets in trouble, the person who's a jerk. they begin to love that self and have a hard time doing it. When they start thinking, I'm a jerk and I'm supposed to love myself, they can't do it.
Well, he's talking about self-esteem, he said. Just speaking to the audience today, said a lot of people have low self-esteem, and they can raise their self-esteem, and they would be easier to love themselves.
When they raise their self-esteem, they become CIA agents.
They what?
Become CIA agents. They become lawyers, doctors. The ruination of the world. That's what happens when you have high self-esteem. What we want to do is go beyond self-esteem. Self-esteem is only to build up your ego. That's what self-esteem is.
Well, along with that, it's very interesting. They have different speakers, and they had more than 100 people there, and they formed two circles. And they were playing in the garden, you know, that song. And the organ, women and men were going around pulling their hands up. It took about 15 minutes. And I got so, it never happened to me before. I started, and the tears started coming down my face. I wasn't crying, but I was so moved. And apparently one of the women who was one of the healers came up to me and she put her arms around my neck, started crying, and she kissed me and she said that it was good that I could let go like that.
It was a moving experience.
Yeah.
Good.
But this seems contrary to where we're at.
It's not really contrary. It just makes you see who you really are, what you really are all about.
Well, it's a good feeling, I tell you, even if you let go and start crying like that, I feel like now it's freedom.
Yes, it's good. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Do we have any prasad? We don't eat today. You'll have to go home with hungry tummies. Thank you for coming. Remember to love yourself, to worship yourself, to pray to yourself, to bow to yourself. For God dwells in you as you. All is well, peace. And away we go.
If there's new people, there's transcripts on the table that are free.